The fire made that open, but the devil will return. Insanity or glory in a mind that never learns. A moment of something where the dark can reverse. Tell the lonely man where to go. Kill the anxiety and let it burn. It's not the only will hold. Kill the anxiety and let it burn. The empty eyes are falling down the path of no return. And blindness he wonders if his mind will ever learn. A moment of something where the dark can
welcome to your Tuesday night broadcast of In Plain Sight. Jeremy from Kentucky on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash the donate button. Send the much needed fundage. You can mail your check or money order payable to RBN. Also, you can mail well concealed cash and mail it to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call that donation into Mike with your debit or credit card number, and he'll take your money. The hosts have all decided to give $100 a month for the summer, at least, and maybe beyond, hopefully beyond. And if everyone listening can give at least $5 or $10, what a difference that would make. We are live on Tuesday night with my co-host, the man, the legend, from the underground caverns of Burbank.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
In his broad travels, executing justice and analyzing political science, may I say aloha and konnichiwa, Slattery son.
Aloha and konnichiwa.
Yes, indeed. What's on the bat page?
I think we have an echo in the bat cave.
You got your video on, guy. We don't want to expose the underground tunnels of Burbank.
That's right.
What is that? Is that a Batmobile in the background? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and never mind Catgirl.
Catgirl's looking pretty hot.
As she is prone to.
Anyway, so let's cover some school shootings. What do you say?
Let's do it.
I have two Stormer articles, and I want to give Anglin his credit. So, covering this Texas shootout in Uvalde, the first one deals with the SWAT team responding, and the second one deals with how children supposedly bled to death while the cops and feds messed around. So let's just break into this first one, if you're indeed ready.
I am ready, sir.
So, first of all, Andrew covers the New York Post and actually points out that they're giving out a lot of information Making him wonder if they will be locked out of the mainstream media. The New York Post is a little more, should I say, right-wing in its presentation? Right-leaning. Let me just read from the Post here to sort of get our bearings on where we're at. 2 years before the massacre at Robb Elementary School that left 19 fourth graders and their two teachers dead, the Uvalde Police Department boasted online about having its own SWAT team. The department posted a picture on Facebook of 9 heavily armed officers with the caption, "Meet our SWAT team." And this is 2 years ago. The unit was making visits throughout the community that day to familiarize themselves with layouts of our local schools and businesses, according to the February 2020 Post. But when terror came to the tiny Texas town, it's not clear if the tactical unit that seemingly trained for just such a moment turned out to respond at all, a law enforcement source said. It's always a source. So there were so many names, so many officers and agencies involved, according to the source. The state's Department of Public Safety, which is probing the response to the shooting, is still trying to determine which agencies were on the scene and the role each played. In Texas, it's not uncommon for multiple law enforcement agencies to respond to an incident together. When you have so many agencies in an active situation, you have officers inside, and those officers are responsible for containing the threat, according to the source. And then you have officers outside containing a perimeter. Parents of the students at the school complained that the cops outside during the incident prevented them from entering the building. One frantic mom was even handcuffed as she begged cops to enter the building and take out the 18-year-old shooter, Salvatore Ramos. The first responders, or the emergency responders, actually, wrongly believed the situation had gone from an active shooter to a barricaded scenario and waited more than an hour after the shooting before they entered the classroom and shot the shooter. The source said that Uvalde police officers were among the makeshift group that stormed the classroom with a hero U.S. Customs and Border Protection agent. Some of the Uvalde SWAT team may have been with them, but investigators are still putting the pieces together. Still putting the pieces together after over a week, by the way. I just read from the New York Post article on this. So let me get Andrew's commentary, and we'll kind of pull this apart. It's really just not even believable that these people literally have no idea what even happened. They don't know if the SWAT team was there. Can't they just ask them? And isn't there all kinds of video? I don't want to hear, oh, it's because Mexicans are dumb. That's not an argument, because no one thinks this would have happened in Mexico. In Mexico, the shooter would have been dead in 5 minutes, whether it was local police, military police, private security, or a drug gang. Someone would have just went in and shot him immediately. That's Andrew's comments about if this happened in Mexico. This type of incompetence is not third world. It is uniquely American. So if you've caught that, Patrick, let's sort of analyze England's analysis, because I think it's a very good one. Now, we're working on the assumption right now, and I'm going to propose another possible scenario that other callers brought up. But right now, we're working on the assumption that this shooting was real, right? Working on that assumption. They don't know if the SWAT team was there. They don't know if they entered the building with the Border Patrol dude that supposedly shot the shooter. And it was, what would they say, 40 minutes outside of the school. So what to make of this? What do you think about Anglin's comments about this wouldn't have went down this way in Mexico, that some drug gang or some, you know, somebody would have went in and taken care of this guy?
Yeah. I mean, it seems pretty absurd that in a country with all sorts of capabilities and with
you know, police forces, multiple police forces, which had responded, that an 18-year-old kid would be able to have access, would be, what, he was inside the building with a bunch of small children, picking them off one by one for, what, 40 minutes, 50 minutes, while...
through an unlocked door. The one and only unlocked door in the entire facility, supposedly.
Yeah, it's. I mean, this is very, very bizarre. Of course, we've been having these shootings, and you know, we are a country that where a lot of crime happens. We're a country where, I mean, there are some of the causative factors that Anglin brought up about mental health, about alienation, all sorts of stuff, and we've got that, and that's all on the rise. You know, gun ownership is not particularly on the rise, but these mental health issues and alienation are on the rise. The other thing, though, and you know, maybe callers were saying that this was staged. Well, I don't know what they're thinking when they say staged. Does that mean that no children were actually killed?
That's one. Yeah. That's one theory that I've heard.
Yeah, and you're going to hear that. That's I guess, you know, the James Fetzer school of conspiracy. But, you know...
Well, by the way, let me interject before you go. I heard James Fetzer on Richard's show today with Stephen Whitener hosting. And, I mean, James Fetzer makes a good argument. And he, you know... covered his covering of the, you know, the one shooting in Wisconsin. Tell me the name of that shooting, Patrick.
Because
I've walked 10 hours.
Well, shooting?
Yeah,
Wisconsin. I mean, Waukesha. Waukesha wasn't a shooting. That was a trucking.
No. The one that Alex Jones got in trouble for denying.
Sandy Hook, which was in Connecticut.
Connecticut. Okay. Yeah. They said something about Wisconsin today, and that was probably the Waukesha thing they were talking about. So the Connecticut shooting, you know, Fetzer, basically his premise is that didn't even happen.
I'm bringing him up because he's kind of a, you know, one end of a continuum, one end of a spectrum of looking at these things. And, you know, there are multiple explanations he tends to go for. The entire thing was choreographed. If he was always wrong, you know, he's somebody with an academic background in mechanics, something that's science, physical and scientific. If he was always wrong, people wouldn't pay him the time of day, most likely. But you know, we've gone through this period. You could add a lot more back into it from a lot different eras, but just think of from the Donald Trump campaign on. You know, you went through this era where the FBI, we know Lisa Page and Peter Sturrock and Andrew McCabe, you know, they were exchanging messages about blocking Donald Trump's election, about an insurance policy to block his election. That you had the FBI launch what became the basis for the Russia probe, for the Mueller investigation. It was all completely bogus. There was nothing unusual or wrong that Michael Flynn had done, but you know they went and asked him and kind of entrapped him into saying things that shouldn't have even been considered wrong, but because maybe they were technically incorrect, then they could hold lying to the FBI above them. The whole time that the Trump impeachment hearings were going on in 2019 over this phone call to Ukraine, where Trump had suggested to Zelensky to look into the Biden family's criminal activities, the FBI was in control of a laptop from Hunter Biden that was that that had the evidence for those illegal activities in Ukraine. So the whole time that this impeachment was going on, the FBI was in control of exculpatory evidence that would show that Donald Trump did nothing wrong, and they sat on it, you know. And then you look at the role they played in January 6th. So you have an FBI that clearly is willing to coup d'etat a president. I mean, that's what it all adds up to. So is an FBI that's willing to coup d'etat a president, and, you know, people, there was a lot of people around the world who died unnecessarily as a cause of it. You know, is this an FBI that really cares about people's lives? An FBI that would do that, is that also an FBI that would set up crime? And we know they set up the Gretchen Slutmore kidnapping. Now, it never went forward, but they would, wouldn't they set up crimes that could go forward? It's not that much of a jump to get from what I just laid out to them facilitating a kid doing an actual mass shooting.
Right. And look, I've brought up before, we know that they will kill people. I mean, I brought up Ruby Ridge and Waco. I've had callers actually say that those things were staged. And I don't want to get into the weeds of that. That's a lot. And that's a lot of history there to comb through. But let me just go on record as saying I wouldn't doubt either one. Like, I fully believe that the FBI would kill children to forward a political narrative, and I would fully believe that they would totally set up events where no one got killed and it was all staged. I could go either one, but just you brought up Fetzer, and I heard him today, and you know, this is a retired professor that owes over $100,000 in legal fees, and he's being sued, and he's taking his case to the Supreme Court. So I'm thinking he's a serious individual. Whether he's right or wrong, he's a very serious individual. And I took him seriously when I listened to him today. It's a good listen if anybody wants to tune into that archive, beyond the official narrative, Richard Carey with Stephen Whitener hosting. It was a good show.
Basically, if you're looking at an FBI angle, this is the question you get. I mean, and I'm not saying, like, I don't even necessarily have an opinion on this. I'm still kind of in the information collecting mode. But, you know, there's a scenario I just laid out where the FBI facilitates an actual shooting. And then there's the, I suppose, what James Fetzer laid out, which is no shooting happened, everything was staged. And what you get down to is the first scenario involves really more evil at the FBI. It involves them being willing to kill a bunch of kids. The second, which there's less evil because there's less killing, but it is logistically way more difficult, you know, because now you've got to have dozens of families to forever be pretending that they had kids that they didn't, or this or that. That becomes really, really complicated. So
I would even say more evil in the second scenario, where families are being paid. I mean, that's pretty evil. But honestly, I don't know. It's probably equal. You're right. Maybe the killing of children is always more evil than the facilitating of them. But what happened to said children if they weren't killed? Like, where did they go?
Yeah, did they ever exist in the first place? I'm not sure what the Sandy Hook explanation is. Did these kids ever exist in the first place? Yeah. And if they didn't exist in the first place, I mean, it gets pretty complicated how you pull something like that off.
Let's come back with a fresh perspective after the break, and I'll go on with Andrew's line of reasoning, which is a pretty good one, actually, back on the other side.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, sierramadreprecious metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
All right, welcome back to the show. You got the dynamic duo trying to dissect this Texas shooter thing with what information we can get in. And I'm referring to Andrew's article from the Daily Stormer, which you can pull up at stormer-daily.rw. Remind me to post a link to that, Mike, because that's his new website since he was kicked off of his last server. So anyway, Andrew writes, it's just not even believable that these people literally have no idea what even happened. They don't know if the SWAT team was there. Can't they just ask them? And so we cover that. So then he goes on to say, I have no way of confirming this. I can't view Facebook. And he's talking about the Uvalde police doing a Facebook post. But they haven't given any press conference or anything. This is being done by state and federal authorities giving the press conferences. So he's saying that the local police have not given press conferences, just the state and federal. All right. This entire thing is really a circus. It sure as hell looks like a conspiracy to cause as many deaths as possible. But of course, a lot of people can't really comprehend the idea that the government would do something like this unless they're full on QAnon believers. I don't know how you can be aware of the fact that the U.S. government invaded Iraq for literally no reason and now admits to lying to the public about it while George Bush gets up and makes jokes about it and believe they wouldn't kill kids. So that's sort of the point that we were bringing up earlier. And Andrew supplies a video of George Bush joking about weapons of mass destruction. And then also George Bush jokes about the invasion of Ukraine being wholly and unjustifiable and brutal. But he, in a Freudian slip perhaps, first says that the invasion of Iraq was wholly unjustified and brutal. In that video, you're familiar with that. Did you have a comment on that?
Comment?
Yeah, we just about the point being that the government would kill kids and would kill mass amounts of people, and that George Bush joked about it and had a Freudian slip in one of these videos. Comparing Ukraine to Iraq.
George Bush, yeah, giving a speech to Southern Methodist University, and he's referring to, I guess he thinks he's referring to Russia invading Ukraine, but he talks about the wholly unjustified invasion of Iraq. Yeah, Freudian or just kind of like low IQ. He did his regular. That's what he defaults to. We have, for instance, on record, on video, Madeleine Albright being asked by Leslie Stahl back in the late 1990s, because of the American sanctions against Iraq, you've got 500,000 dead Iraqi children. Is it worth it? And she pauses for a second, thinks, and says, yes, we think the price is worth it. What it gets down to is you've got authorities, some of whom are willing to openly state that they will sacrifice huge numbers of children overseas for their political goals. How much of a leap is it to think that they might be willing to sacrifice dozens, not necessarily hundreds of thousands, but dozens of American kids? And of course, they're already sacrificing them in other ways, like pushing trannyism, which is going to certainly lead to suicides and all sorts of things. They're certainly willing to allow the fentanyl to go forward. There's a lot of evidence that the CIA was involved in the cocaine, the crack cocaine surge of the 1980s. There's all sorts of stuff. Maybe some of it is, maybe you can't prove all of it, but there's enough out there that the idea that that elements of the government would not be willing to, or that the idea that they would be willing to sacrifice dozens of kids isn't really that far-fetched.
Let me get on with Andrew's conclusion, which I want to give him credit for, and we can just sort of pick it apart. Quoting from Andrew from the article, here's the thing right now. The plan seems to be to go with everyone is just totally incompetent and no one had any idea what was going on, and we don't even know who was responsible for any of it. So that's the theme. Maybe there will be some group that takes the fall. I assume the city will get sued and have to pay these parents. What they are going to end up doing is saying that this proves we need a totally unified national police force ran by the feds so that there is central coordination. That's what they're doing with the treaty to hand over sovereignty to the World Health Organization, right? Saying we need a central authority because of the incompetent communication tactics of the government. He's comparing the WHO treaty to maybe something future that could happen where they say, well, local law enforcement is incompetent. Let's come back to this on the other side of the break with calls.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You know that nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness. But there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually, it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? Don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we're offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com. That's seedarmory.com. Don't wait. Like everything else, seeds are in short supply.
Okay, we're back. In plain sight, dynamic duo hashing out the school shooting in Texas, Uvalde. So I wanted to just sort of bring the audience back to Andrew England's point, whether this was fake or a real shooting. It seems like the narrative is law enforcement's incompetent. Therefore, we need a national, more centralized, maybe law enforcement to come in and replace them. You see this theme actually over the last few years with the racist cops that killed George Floyd, right? And the racist cops that caused all the riots, the Black Lives Matter, totally peaceful protests. And this picture is being painted of local law enforcement being incompetent. Also keep in mind that during the lockdowns, you had a lot of local sheriffs in Michigan and Canada even, or Michigan and California that refused to enforce the lockdown mandates. And so this could play into the World Health Organization's thing of we need a uniform enforcement during pandemics, and we don't need these local sheriffs going out doing their own thing. That's sort of the thing. That's Andrew's point in this whole article, is that local law enforcement is being thrown under the bus to try to justify some sort of a UN army coming in. But do we even need a UN army in said scenario? Get your thoughts, Patrick. Is this scenario viable, and do we even need a UN army?
Yeah, why would – I mean, my – okay, the idea that you might get a push for something centralized, yeah, I can imagine that. And you look around the world, and you know, Britain's got London Yard, it's got a nationalized police force. Japan's got a nationalized police force. So lots of countries do. I think that's common. I think in the United States, we're probably, I haven't looked into this in detail, but I think we're an exception with a primarily local police force. So, you know, we got a municipalities, and then you've got sheriffs, which are tend to be countywide. I think they're always countywide. And then you've got the state police. We have, the FBI is a national police force, the ATF, we do have national level organizations. So, I mean, to me, it's like, why would, right now we've got a ruling elite that has very tight control over the federal government. They have tighter control over the federal government than they have over the United Nations. You know, the United Nations Security Council, which is a top policy-making organ there, Russia and China are permanent members with veto power, right? The United Nations General Assembly, which is the other body that can pass resolutions, but they have less power, you know, they routinely call Israel a racist apartheid state. They do this. So why would the primarily Jewish ruling elite that already has such tight control over the federal government, why would they want to switch that control to the United Nations? A more viable option would be to take the FBI and the ATF and the border control or whatever, and morph them into one centralized national police force, and then start subordinating state troopers and local police forces to the national police force. If they wanted a centralized, nationalized police force, that would be the route.
That is a more viable route, and we have historic precedents, as I've mentioned many times on the show. Even the National Guard, which is supposed to be at the command of the governor, you go back to the late 50s, the National Guard were stopping integration in Arkansas. But then the president nationalized the Guard, and they forced integration at gunpoint. So if they would do that in the 50s, would they do that now? Think about all the vaxxed. The military is now vaxxed. Anybody that refused the vax, even on religious grounds, has been discharged. And you got vax people, trannies. We have enough right here in the U.S. to do a nationalized police force without bringing in the U.N.,
That's the point.
Do you want to go to some callers? Let's spice it up a bit. I think we have some spicy callers.
Sure, let's go to some callers.
We got Matilda first. Let's try to keep it brief and to the point so we can get to all the callers. Matilda from Ohio.
Hi, how you doing?
Great.
I have a little theory. Okay, I heard one reporter say that the dad of a murdered child couldn't even see his own daughter. Now, what if the kids weren't really killed? They are put into sex trafficking, and the kids that have been killed through the sex trafficking is put into their grave. Hello?
Hello, you just blew our minds.
That's actually a theory that Andrew Anglin on The Stormer was exploring in one of the other articles that we were going to cover. But basically, in Uvalde, they don't have a coroner, and they don't have a means of processing the dead bodies, so the bodies were sent off and without the parental identification.
How do you know the children were really dead?
Right, because the police chief
put in sex trafficking. Hey, they bring the dead bodies of kids that have already been killed through the sex trafficking, put them in their graves. No one would know the difference because the parents never see them.
And I'm not ascribing to this. I'm just pointing out what Andrew Anglin is one of his theories is basically mirroring what you're saying, is that because there was no coroner there and no means of processing the bodies, they supposedly sent the bodies off to be processed, and only the chief of police went in and identified them based on descriptions from the parents. So you didn't really have parents coming in and identifying the bodies. And the reason given was some of the bodies were so mutilated it would be like too traumatic. So, I mean, that is very weird, and it could play into the theory that maybe there weren't any children dead at all or very few. Patrick, what do you got on this for Matilda, and then we'll move on to the next caller.
Well, I mean, given how bizarre everything is, it's hard to rule stuff out, but it does introduce an additional logistics wrinkle where now you've got to, when you've got a building that seems to be more or less surrounded not just by ineffective law enforcement, but by irate parents, how are you sneaking out these kids alive for sex trafficking? I'm not saying that's impossible, but it makes the logistics more difficult.
It is very weird, though.
They could have stayed in them while they were supposedly being shot.
Well, it is very weird that whether there's bodies or not.
I learned to think evil because I lived with evil for 25 years. I had to learn how to think like it. So, yeah, I learned to think the worst of people. And this is a scenario that could possibly happen.
Yeah, and with them having to send the bodies off, supposedly, or not having a coroner there or a processing facility, I mean, there's all kinds of, windows for hokey stuff to happen. But, hey, we appreciate the call, Matilda, and we're open for whatever. I mean, we're still gathering information on this, and I haven't even come to a conclusion on it yet.
I just wanted to throw that out there as a possibility.
Yeah, and a lot of other great minds think like yours. So let's move on. Appreciate the call, Matilda. Go back to the Paul screen. I think we got Paul. Paul in California, what do you got for us?
Hey, Jeremy, Patrick, long time no see.
Yeah.
What I would say is there's a proper way to look at this, in my opinion. So although the things that Andrew Anglin talks about and what you've been talking about tonight, they're all worth discussing, but I just don't think we're climbing high enough up the tree to get the bigger picture, which is, of course, the Jews are always wanting to get us to believe things, and in many cases they want us to believe tall tales or things that are not true. I mean, they wanted us to believe that 6 million of them were gassed by the Germans, right? They wanted us to believe that diversity is our greatest strength. They want us to believe that Joe Biden got elected president with more votes than anybody else has ever received in a presidential election. I don't think I need to go on in this manner to, the question that we really should be asking is, why is it that they want us to believe this thing, right? What's the reason they want us to believe it? And should we believe it? The question really isn't could or would FBI agents kill children. I mean, that's a somewhat interesting discussion, but I think it's kind of absurd to think that you're going to get, any small group of government employees to sign up to go to an elementary school and actually shoot innocent kids. That would be an extremely difficult, thing to do. And why would you need to do it if you could just tell people you did it? I don't really see this any different than, I'm sure Patrick is old enough to remember The Outer Limits from the 60s, the TV show where they said that we're in control of the vertical, we're in control of the horizontal, they're in control of the focus. And at the end of the show, they said, we now return control to you, the viewer. Also, such shows as The Prisoner or The Avengers or the classic Mission Impossible television series from the 70s. I'm sure Patrick watched it like I did. It remembers many episodes where, at the end, somebody was always pulling off a mask, and you were just amazed, like, oh, my God, this is how it would happen. And even then, sometimes at the end, when they pulled the mask off.
Scooby-Doo was like that, too. Yeah.
Yeah,
Freddie was always pulling the mask off in Scooby-Doo. And I don't mean that to be completely, dismissive, but you could look at that as conditioning from a very, very young age.
Of course, exactly. That is a very good point. And at the same time, they let you know. It's right in your face. Remember, get smart, with chaos and control, right? So
yeah, and 99. Don't forget 99, Barbara Feldman.
Right. So, I mean, it's okay to have a little humor in this. So I'll conclude this by saying that Jeremy probably knows this already. I mean, you could do a four-hour show on this. You could have me on and James Fetzer on and a number of people on. It would be one of the more interesting shows you could have ever done. To put this in the proper perspective, all right, let's take, for example, James Fetzer. He's been doing shows, two shows a week or three shows a week, for at least 6 to 7 years. I have not heard every show, but I would estimate I've probably heard 70% of those shows, which would make it, since about 2016, I probably have no less than 300 to 400 of his shows. Anybody that's ever heard James Fetzer's shows has heard me call in, and we've gone at it. I mean, he's dropped me multiple times because there's plenty of times I don't agree with him. And I've won multiple predictions with him. I predicted many things that he thought were going to go one way. I thought they were going to go other. And every single time we were on opposite ends of a prediction or a bet, I've actually made bets with him, I won every single time. You know, and just of notable mention was that the Supreme Court would actually hear and rule on the Texas case regarding the election, and also regarding his court cases in Wisconsin, things like that. Because once you see what, you know, what the score is, as they say, once you see what the game plan of these people is, you know exactly what's going to happen and what they're going to do. And these people have a game plan, and they keep running the same play over and over again. They got the guns taken away in New Zealand and Australia by school shooting incidents. There was a school shooting incident in England and Dunblane, right? That some people say, well, that may have been real and maybe some children died there. I don't know. But they love to keep us guessing, right? So I will just end with this. The Sandy Hook thing is cut and dried, and it's a done deal. Multiple people weighed in on this. Jim Fetzer didn't necessarily write the book. He edited the book. He had 13 contributors to that book. Among those contributors was Wolfgang Halbig, who was former law enforcement in Florida and a consultant on safety and security to schools. And he went up there on his own dime, traveled up there in person, and did some sniffing around. Found out the whole thing was as phony as a $3 bill. So no matter what Alex Jones says or doesn't say, and no matter what people think, you have to put some time into it. Okay, you can't totally and fully understand something until you have time, either into an individual or a subject. And that's my piece for the moment, and I thank you for hearing it.
Thank you, Paul. Okay. Always interesting to take your call.
And by the way, I wasn't suggesting that the FBI was going in and murdering kids, but what I was saying is that the FBI has, you know, they have gotten other people to do things like, you know, you had the FBI, all these FBI informants and agents who were in the chat room with these people in Michigan about the Gretchen Slutmore kidnapping. And, you know, it wasn't that they were carrying it out. So,
yeah, I think you had informants carried out the bombings in the 1960s attributed to the Klan, the bombing of the black church under COINTELPRO.
Okay, so in that case, we're talking about informants who aren't quite agents, but, you know, you're getting people who are collaborating with the FBI knowingly. And then you've got people who wind up getting collaborating unknowingly,
and that's a whole different matter. Just so you know, the FBI also was involved in the, you know, with COINTELPRO and bombing various environmental and war protesting movements all the way back then. It's one thing just worth noting, and I'll get off this phone here, but it's worth noting that placing a bomb somewhere and then you're not there when it goes off is a whole different matter than shooting a child right in front of you. And I just don't think that, you know, again, why would they do that if they don't have to? And as you know,
I never suggested that. My suggestion was that if you're going to consider something, you could consider them getting these unbalanced people online, finding them, recruiting them, and having them carry out the, you know, so you wouldn't if this kid, Ramos, If he shot a bunch of people, like, he's not an FBI agent. He's some disturbed teenager, and there was weird stuff that was going on between him and other people online. And supposedly, one of the people was an FBI or retired FBI agent.
And again, it's unfortunate we don't have the 2 hours or 3 or 4 hours. But I'll just leave you with this. I mentioned this the other day. People with access to a law enforcement database have already found that he doesn't match up. His name, his age, his location does not match up. in the databases. So this is the signature of what these people do, okay? Named shooters and named victims that don't have the internet presence the rest of us have. So that's, I'll leave it at that. You know, I love my airtime sometime, but go ahead and take some other people, okay? Thanks for hearing it.
Shit. Got up on the break here. Appreciate it, Paul. Let's do a little final analysis on the other side and transition into the Bugle Show.
What's becoming my new norm? I'd pass out on the bedroom floor, sleep right through the calm before the storm.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It is useless to resist us.
Back for the final analysis of Endpoint Site. We have one more caller I want to get to, but I just want to bring up something we talked about during the break. You know, will the American public, here's the real question, whether it's fake or not, whether there's really children killed or not, will the American public be willing to give up their guns over this? And I'm seeing no from my gauge of my conservative friends on Facebook and in person. This is not phasing them one bit. And I've never seen the federal government push harder on gun control than I've seen in the last week. Patrick, and then let's go to a caller.
And I mean, they've been pushing and pushing. I would think that if it hasn't happened already, it's not going to happen.
Let's get our callers in, insight into this. The last caller of the night, Marcus in Idaho, What do you think? Will the American public give up their guns? Is this it?
Welcome to the show. Not the guns, Jeremy. I've got to say that Patrick has said that our elite in a country have connections with the Jewish elite and that they're pushing that. I think what we have is a trilateral commission, which is United States, Europe, and Asia, which are pushing this and which is connected to our elite and our system because they are all going through the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, and other agencies, and they're learning how to do things in secret. So like this rogue FBI agent, which was teaching the guy over in Buffalo or coaxing him how to do things, that's how they push their minions. That is their moneyed elite, which are going through the Trilateral Commissions and the Brookings Institution to tell everybody that they're above everybody and are pushing the strings on this. I mean, George Bush Sr., Thousand Points of Light, which was created, said we're on the verge of a new world order. That is the whole concept of these people. They are part of the globalist system. They're not a Jewish elite. They are a part of a globalist system. It's a different book altogether. And why do we have the FBI doing operations overseas? I thought it was a local agency. It's not a national agency. It's doing the operations overseas. So we've broken our bounds in this country, and the elites that are going through these things have created this great reset, and we are in the midst of it now. It's not on the horizon. We're in it now.
Thank you, Marcus. Patrick, summarize, and let's move on to the end of the show.
Yeah, we're certainly in the midst. We're in the midst of something right now, certainly. And the world we live in right now would be hard to recognize, even 3 years ago. 2019. All of a sudden, now all these travel restrictions, face masks, vaccines, all this stuff. And if you were to move back even some years earlier, it'd just be more and more unrecognizable.
Tune in tomorrow on National Bugle, 1 p.m. Central, for the Patrick and Jeremy Show Part 2. Be there or be queer.
Mitch McConnell is looking for a compromise on gun control. I'm Peter Serafin with today's Liberty Minute. Republican Senate Minority Leader McConnell said yesterday, quote, "What I've asked Senator Cornyn to do is to meet with the Democrats who are interested in getting a bipartisan solution and coming up with a proposal, if possible, that's crafted to meet this particular problem," end quote. Well, this particular problem is a society without God. This particular problem is the mental health of a nation where over half of the population is on pharmaceuticals. This particular problem is a generation without responsibility or consequences. This problem is people divided by partisan hate driven by Washington, D.C. The problem is politicians who think that more gun laws will work where gun-free zone signs have failed. No gun law can ever be proposed to meet this particular problem. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Cibus Pacem, Parabellum.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.